There are a few sounds like children in a church. I love it. I love hearing their laughter and the noise that they bring. God is good. I mean, imagine if we did not have that sound amongst us and how much poorer we would be. Again, good morning, everybody. Great to see you here. Last week we began a new sermon series called The Reason Why, and because it's that kind of season, right? It's Thanksgiving season. It's a time for us to think about why we give thanks, and it's important for us to be thinking about that. Last week, the reason we focused on the reason why is that because God is good, that we can be thankful because of the fact that God's goodness never changes, even when everything else does. This week, we're turning our attention to a different reason why, and that reason is that we are thankful because God's grace reaches further than our failures, and it restores us to love and to life. This morning, as I try to unpack this passage and talk about the reason why we give why, I want you to try to picture the scene in your mind. Put yourself around the table in Luke 7. Put yourself in the scene. Imagine you're sitting at the table with Jesus and Simon the Pharisee. So, Act 1. Grace is greater than our reputation. The scripture begins this way. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. It was supposed to be a respectable evening. Simon the Pharisee had invited Jesus to dinner. He was excited about having this chance of having this rabbi under his roof to ask a few theological questions to show his friends that he was in the company of this popular new teacher from Galilee. The table was set. The guests reclined on cushions. The conversation was polite. And then she walked in. Luke tells us that a woman in the town who lived a sinful life came in the room. She wasn't on the guest list. She certainly wasn't welcome. Every eye turned towards her. But she wasn't there to speak or to serve. She was there to worship. Carrying an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, she knelt at Jesus' feet, weeping so hard that her tears washed the dust from his sandals. And then with unashamed devotion, she wiped his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And the room was silent. Scripture records the response. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Well, Jesus did know. And in that knowing, he revealed something greater than propriety, greater than shame, greater than sin itself. He showed grace. That night, Jesus showed the world what grace looks like in flesh and blood. And that is the reason why we give thanks, because grace is greater. This woman entered a space that she was not welcome in. It was a space that defined her by her past. She was that sinful woman. Wasn't even given a name. She was just that sinful woman. And isn't that what shame tries to do to us? It tries to rename us. It whispers into our ear, "You're too far gone. You're not worthy. You're nothing but your mistakes." But grace does the exact opposite. Grace restores our name and our dignity. When she knelt before Jesus, she wasn't defined by her sin anymore. She was defined by his mercy. And in that moment, she discovered what the Pharisee never did. That holiness is not about staying clean, it is about being cleansed. That God's grace completely envelops us. From God's prevenient grace to God's glorifying grace, God's grace is the first and last movement towards us. His free, undeserved love in action. This woman didn't earn her way to forgiveness. She simply trusted that Jesus would receive her. And he did. And we should be thankful today because God's grace still receives people that the world has written off. The addicted, the wounded, the prideful, the self-righteous. All of us. Because grace meets us where we are, not where we pretend we are. So act number two. Grace is greater than our debt. So Jesus begins to tell a parable in the middle of that dinner scene. He says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Jesus loves questions. He loves just throwing these bombs out and making us think. He has a way with questions. I mean, Simon the Pharisee hears this question and thinks for a moment, and then he responds, well, I suppose the person who had the bigger debt forgiven. To which Jesus simply said, you have judged correctly. You know, the truth is we all carry a debt that we cannot repay. Maybe it's not financial, but it is mortal. It's spiritual. It's relational. Sin leaves a deficit in our lives that we cannot repay. But here's the miracle. The creditor, right, God himself, cancels the debt. He doesn't renegotiate it. He doesn't extend the due date. He doesn't require collateral. Jesus erases it all with the blood of his son. You know, grace doesn't make sin small. It makes forgiveness greater. That when you realize the size of your forgiveness, gratitude becomes spontaneous. The woman in Luke chapter 7 didn't love to earn grace. She loved because she already had it. And that's the difference between Simon the Pharisee and her. Simon's religion was about keeping score, whereas her faith was about being set free. Which one do we resemble? I mean, if our gratitude feels dry, Maybe we have forgotten how much we have been forgiven. Act 3. Grace is greater than our guilt. The woman's tears were not shame alone. They were relief. The kind of tears that come when you have been carrying a guilt for so long that you almost forget what freedom feels like. She wept because she finally believed that she was loved. Jesus doesn't look at her and say, "You have a right to be sorry." He looks at her and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." I mean, that's the difference between grace and guilt. Guilt says you're finished. Grace says you're forgiven. The world loves to keep people locked in their guilt. It is so much easier to control and condemn that way. But Jesus came not to manage our guilt. He came to remove it. Romans 8 verse 1 says this, "There is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus." And that is the gospel in one line. The past no longer defines the future because grace has the final word. We're thankful because grace rewrites our story. It tells us that no matter where we have been, God's mercy can bring us home. Act 4. Grace is greater than our pride. Now, Simon the Pharisee's problem wasn't sin. It was pride. He was so convinced of his righteousness that he couldn't see his own need for mercy. Because grace exposes pride for what it is. It is simply spiritual blindness. The woman knelt low. She saw Jesus clearly. Simon stood tall, and he missed him completely. We live in a world today that prizes self-reliance. But grace begins where pride ends. It requires us to kneel. It requires us to surrender. We cannot receive grace with clenched fists. That's why thanksgiving and humility are inseparable. Grateful people are humble people because they know that they don't deserve what they have been given. And if you've ever knelt before the Lord and felt the weight of your sin lifted, you know what it's like to give thanks not from duty but because of deliverance. It takes us to Act 5, which is grace is greater than our fear. When Jesus looked at the woman, he said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Those words, "go in peace," were more than a farewell. They were a declaration. The war between your heart and your past is over. Because grace doesn't just forgive what was done. It frees us to live differently. You know, I think often we fear that God's patience will eventually run dry, that his grace will run out, that one day, just one day, we will have gone too far. But grace doesn't shrink in the face of sin. In fact, grace expands to cover it. And that's why we give thanks, because no matter how many times we stumble, grace meets us again, not to excuse us, but to empower us. You know, Wesley called this grace sanctifying grace. It's a grace that not only forgives but transforms. It is a grace that reshapes our heart into the likeness of Christ. We aren't just forgiven people. We are being made new people. And for that, we can never stop giving thanks. Because of Act number 6, grace is greater than we could ever imagine. You know, Simon thought that he was hosting Jesus that night, but in truth, Jesus was hosting grace. He turned that dinner table into an altar. He turned a scandal into a sermon, and a sinner into a saint. You know, grace has that kind of power. It turns messes into ministries. It turns guilt into gratitude. It makes brokenness into beauty. I mean, if we could see our lives the way that heaven sees them, we'd spend a lot less time complaining or explaining our failures and more time praising God for his faithfulness. Because grace is the only reason any of us are still standing. At the end of the evening, Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This woman walked in weeping. She left in peace. She walked in burdened by her shame, but she walked out blessed because of God's grace. And I imagine every step that she took away from that house was lighter and freer and filled with thanksgiving. Because that's our story as well. We come to Jesus with our sin, our regret, and our pride, and he meets us with his mercy. I mean, that is the reason we give thanks. Because grace is greater. Grace is greater than our past. Grace is greater than our pride. Grace is greater than our guilt. Grace is greater than anything that will try to keep us from the love of God. The Apostle Paul summed it up this way in 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, this gift of God's grace, given for you and for me." Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you would welcome us, sinners. You would welcome people like us into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you don't turn us away, but you welcome us to the table. You welcome us into your presence. Thank you for your grace that sets us free to live differently. To live lives not shackled and burdened down by sin, but to live as a forgiven people, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Set free to tell others of this incredible gift that is theirs as well. Jesus, thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.